Megan Megacan with me, Conrad Werner, and over there it's Megan.
Hello! Hi everyone, happy Friday.
Yeah, we're all very happy here that it is Friday.
It is Friday, yes.
This is a German politics podcast for one thing, but what it is also is a booze podcast. That's where the Megacans come in.
Yes, so...
What have we got for booze today, Megan?
Our delicious Megacans, which are pre-mixed cocktails. 10% cocktails, no less. And we have Jack Daniel's Lynchburg Lemonade, which I think we may have had before. And what I think is new, or certainly new according to the sign in the supermarket, a Bacardi Mojito.
Ooh.
So, that's, choice is yours.
I'd like the Lynchburg lemonade, please.
Ooh.
The Lynchburg is...
It's not that I'm drinking rum. Maybe I'm just a rum drinker now, and I'll have to adjust my thoughts on rum drinkers, which is that they are terrified and terrifying and not to be trusted.
Those are your thoughts on rum drinkers?
Yes.
I think that's a bit generalising.
We have met. Is there anything I do other than generalize wildly and then like refuse to back down in the face of evidence?
Ah, good.
All right. So, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, God, this is so hard.
Yeah, you got a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's lovely. I really like this one.
Ooh, that's good. That mojito one's not bad. I feel like maybe I've had it before.
Yeah?
Or maybe I had a different brand of one. I don't know. That's not bad. It's not too sweet.
Mine's not too sweet too. Mine says, Lynchburg Lemonade combines the distinctive character of our fine Tennessee whiskey, a dash of triple sec, and a perfect measure of zesty lemonade.
Measure of zesty lemonade?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I wonder
where... I'd like someone to describe me that way.
That's always what I think about you.
Thanks. I've just got the jaunty slogan on the side of mine. Prohibition was a blast.
Oh.
And
is there any context to that statement?
By the 1920s, the mojito was one of the most famous cocktails that represented the Caribbean zest for life for all expats who explored the bartenders' ingenuities during American prohibition.
Oh, so what they're saying is it was a way of disguising the alcohol.
Yes. But then why expats?
I don't know.
Were they in... Are we talking Hemingway here? Is that an oblique Hemingway reference?
Maybe.
Did they go down to the Caribbean to drink?
I don't
know. Also, not my favourite word, expat.
No. We are... we're treading like... we've gone beyond the area where we can walk. You know, if we were going into a lake. Do you know what I mean? We're like treading into... What do you call it? We've gone out of our depth.
We have gone out of our depth
in terms
of our mate.
I've forgotten how you say going out of your depth for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder where Lynchburg is. And it doesn't sound like a place I'd really want to go, but they have
lemonade. Well, you'd probably be all right. We'd probably be all right.
Yeah.
Well, but still. Know. You trust anywhere in America now.
I know.
This is really great, actually.
Anyway,
what's
I'm enjoying this drink so much, I don't even want to talk about German politics this week.
It's fine. It's fine. We can do this.
But I have to.
Yeah.
Because that is the premise of the show.
Yeah.
And because it is actually quite interesting.
Mm. Tell me more.
So, Bavaria, as you know, goes to the polls.
Sonntag, oder?
Yes.
On Sunday.
Yeah, all Bavarian, all elections in Germany are on the Sundays.
It's true.
And they are going to the polls and it could well be a sea change in the whole political order. It could mark a sea change in the whole political order of Germany.
Yes, because correct me if I'm wrong, and we've discussed this before, but since time... as my East London students used to say, since time immemorial, since basically the end of the Second World War, the CSU, which is the Angela Merkel's kind of the wing of her party down there, has been in control in Bavaria.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good for them, is it?
No, they are polling this week at 34%.
That's not great.
That is the lowest they've ever been. They're still the biggest party, but they used to get over 50%.
Mm.
As recently as 2008, they had 60%.
Jeepers.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. They are depressed at the thought of getting 34%, those Bavarian conservatives.
I can imagine. When you're used to that level of dominance.
Yeah. And what is happening is that they are losing votes on one side to the AfD, obviously, because because part of their voters are like far right people, and they think, oh, finally, there's a real far right party. We don't have to pretend to like the CSU.
Don't have to pretend to be moderate, middle of the road people anymore.
Yeah,
we can just let our freak flag fly.
Yeah, we can be our racist selves.
Yay!
And the other side, they're also losing votes to, but because they've sort of successfully kept the AfD from getting really strong. Like they're not, like the AfD are only polling at 10%, which is below average in Germany.
That I have to say is refreshing. Well done, Bavaria.
Yeah, that is partly because the CSU has successfully like positioned itself as
a viable right wing alternative.
Yeah. Just about racist enough.
Yay.
To catch quite a lot of AfD voters.
Okay. Okay. And, baby, don't leave me. I can be more racist. Please, just let me. I'll prove it to you.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they're thinking. And they're only polling at about 10%, and which is compared to, for example, East Germany, where they're polling at like 25%. And in Germany in general, they're sort of an average of 15-16% sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's actually lower. But the reason for that, yes, as I said, the reason for that. But then the other thing is that's interesting that's happening is the Greens are doing really, really well.
Yeah.
They're on 18% this week, or 19% even today. And that means they will definitely become the second strongest party.
Wow.
In Bavaria. And I've been reading all these different political analyses of this, of why this has happened. Yes. Why the Greens of all the parties?
That's going to be my question.
Well,
enlighten
me. Hear me out. It's because there's a whole new, like, the politics is changing all over the world. Like, it's no longer about left and right. It's about people who. It's like everything's about identity politics. Either you're for more diversity and more inclusion and more democracy. Or you're against it, or you just want to protect the old white male Christian order.
Mm-hmm.
That is the front line across all of politics now. Mm-hmm. And the only two parties that are currently positioned squarely on both sides of that at the moment are the AfD and the Greens. Mm-hmm. Like the AfD are like wholeheartedly just protect the white Christian order. And the Greens are all about inclusion and diversity. That is their main thing, apart from, you know, climate change and that. But so they're like, those are the new fault lines. I was reading this very clever article.
Yeah.
I'll put a link up. And I thought that was actually a really good point.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is good. This is somewhat good news. Do you think this may be because one of the things that has been being discussed with the whole kind of rise of populism, I guess, and Trump and the AfD and all of this kind of stuff. Like, the left has been very criticized. Well, maybe it's not the left anymore. That's the thing. Maybe it's not that the left needs to unify. Maybe something else needs to come to counter that. And do you think maybe this is what the Greens could do in...
Yeah, well,
in Germany.
And what is interesting is that all the other parties, all the other German parties are like really divided about migration in Germany and about the refugee crisis. They're all like really struggling to keep themselves like to hold a clear position apart from the Greens and the AfD. Those two parties, they know what they think. And
the Greens' position is?
Well, they're just like, let them in, you know?
Yeah, there's plenty of room.
Yeah.
Particularly down in Bayern, it's all lovely hills and things.
Yeah.
Lots of room. It's massive. massive. You know how long it takes to get a train from here to Bayern? Long time. Even on the fast train. It's very big and there's nothing much happening in the middle.
Have you spent much time in Bavaria?
I haven't spent much time anywhere in Berlin or anywhere. That's indicative. Anywhere in Germany other than Berlin. And even then, it's like a very specific spot. But of the places in Germany that I've been to Bayern quite a lot. To Bavaria quite a lot. I really like it. It's quite friendly in an odd way. But it is very what I would sort of call German, you know, like growing up outside of Germany, that is, you know, what you think of.
Yeah.
It's a lot of sort of traditional, you know, Lederhosen and...
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it has a very specific cultural identity, Bavaria.
Yes, and it's it's actually a bit of a misnomer for me to say that it feels very German, because in some ways it holds itself quite apart from the rest of Germany, in a way.
I know,
would you
this
say?
Is the paradox, isn't it?
It's the paradox. It's the most, to the outside... Or maybe even to people within Germany, it's the most German of the...
Yeah.
Like, it's as German as you get. It's just like...
If you follow that
line of German being like...
Beer and sausages.
And Lederhosen and Oktoberfest and stuff. Which...
And BMWs and football. That's all Bavarian stuff. Mm-hmm. Not football. But, you know, like, they're like... They're like what everyone thinks about Germany when you think German, especially Americans.
Yeah.
It's partly because the American army was stationed in Bavaria when they were like, you know. And also because, you know, the Disney castle, you know, on the Disney logo, the castle.
Yes.
That's modeled on Neuschwanstein.
Yes, which I've never been to, but I have seen pictures and it literally does. It is just the Disney castle.
Yeah, because he was mad, like, you know, he was a madman who built it. He was like the 19th century Michael Jackson. He just wanted to live in a fairy tale. So he built his own fairy tale because he was so rich.
Wow. What?
But that is
what
an old...
What are we talking about?
I just thought it was interesting to talk because, you know, and also because they're mainly Catholic, unlike the rest of Germany. And... They didn't really want to join Germany in 1870. Like there's a whole conspiracy theory about how King Ludwig, the one who built that castle, died. And there's a conspiracy theory that he was killed by Bismarck's agents. He was murdered by Bismarck's agents.
I'm waggling my eyebrows at this intrigue that I also now realize you can see.
Have you
just look mildly alarmed. Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were... the Google Männer. Have you ever heard of the Google Männer?
No.
They look a bit like Ku Klux Klan men because they wear hoods. But what they are is they're like
Stop
a secret
wearing
society.
Hoods, yeah. White dudes. Yeah. It's over. <Yeah. laughs>
But they're not really formally anything to do with the Ku Klux Klan. They just like hoods as well. You should just
fight still, still, lads, it's done. We're done.
Pointy hoods. They have these pointy hoods.
Yeah.
And they're a secret society and they're Bavarian and they come up with this plan. They believe that King Ludwig was murdered by Bismarck's agents and that Bavaria should be independent country, and it was like forced into become part of Germany by like, you know, like the evil Prussians. Interesting. Yeah. You can meet them.
So this is all adding up to a very interesting election in the most German state, which feels like maybe it isn't really German, maybe shouldn't be German at all, but it's now going to really lead the forefront in what might be a massive shift, the beginning of a massive shift in the German political landscape. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that it's already happened, but this is the first election where we'll be able to see it.
Yes, I think this has been like, exactly, it's been brewing for quite a while, but this is the first time people are going to the polls and we're going to see the... Again, I'm waggling my eyebrows.
It's very impressive. Yeah, I've got good eyebrows for waggling.
I do have good eyebrows for waggling. It's because I can't be bothered ever plucking them the way I'm supposed to as a good woman. Okay.
But do you want to, in other news?
In other news, yeah, but obviously connected in the world of German politics.
Has anything annoyed you about the AfD this week?
Yes, obviously. no, so it sort of started being, and it got into quite a lot of the foreign press as well, which is interesting. And obviously, but coming up to this, you know, these big elections in Bavaria and the other one coming up in Hesse. When's that one?
That's next week.
Woo! So the AfD has rolled out. They've actually had this program in Hamburg since last year, but they've rolled it out, I think, to Baden-Württemberg this time, and they want to recently, and they want to roll it out more. And it is the Neutral Schools Project, which encourages students to report on their teachers who are openly anti-AfD to the school leadership, or if they don't feel comfortable doing that, to the AfD themselves. And they've created this sort of online portal of resources with kind of like the, this is why you're justified in doing this. These are some tips to help you. The reason that they're able to sort of do this is even like Germany has very like strict, or like it's a constitutional thing about the freedom of, how would you translate, like Meinungsfreiheit, like freedom of, you're able to express your opinions, basically freedom to think and express what you want. Is in the constitution. However, if you are a teacher, if you are a school, if you're working in that environment, there are sort of, that is in some way mitigated by the Schulgesetz, the school laws, which state things like you're not allowed to give one-sided political kind of instruction. You have to show a variety of points. You're not allowed to basically canvass for votes or try and influence students to vote a certain way.
Okay.
So this is the AfD sort of justification for this. And they call out everything.
Do you stick to that?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, legally you have to as a teacher. It's a really, really difficult thing as a teacher, and particularly as a teacher of a certain subject. I teach English. Obviously, this kind of stuff comes up all the time. Politics teachers as well. Ethics teachers. Ethics is a big subject in Germany. And it's really, really difficult because it's... But the point is not that you're not allowed. And I was trying to sort of look into this, and this from the AfD has caused like a huge furore, and the heads of the teaching unions and like opposing politicians have all come out and said, this is ridiculous. This is not what we want. We are teaching students to think critically. And we need to have these kind of discussions in the classroom. And they are also bringing in parallels with kind of Nazi era and Stasi era, when students were, you know, when teachers were very controlled in what they were supposed to be teaching, and students were encouraged to inform on their teachers as well.
Well, it's problematic because it's a political party saying it. Because obviously you're supposed to report to the authorities, but if it's a political party saying, oh, you should report if there's something, they're saying something about us. That is obviously a bit Stasi.
Well, yes. I mean, the strange thing is that I do kind of in some ways agree with them. Like, and they say on their thing, and they offer support, and they say, look, it takes courage to stand up to your teachers and do what you think is right. And all of that is like a really good sentiment. And they sort of call out everything on the website from like casual AfD bashing. I can't remember, they had a brilliant adjective in German that I know I can't remember, but to teachers standing in front of students, which I can imagine may have happened with those like fuck off day t-shirts and things. Yeah. And I don't think that you should necessarily be doing that as a teacher. I do think that contravenes a little bit what's in the Schulgesetz.
Yeah.
However, I obviously, it all of this is made problematic by the fact that it's coming from the AfD. And it's problematic in the kind of way that you were saying, because they are arguing that students are being given a biased, one-sided, anti-AfD view. However, because they're just creating this portal and this support network for students within the context of wanting to stop bashing of just their party, then that's exactly promoting exactly the same kind of one-sidedness as they're supposed to be calling out. They're not offering support. AfD have been very clear in their what kind of Germans, and by extension, what kind of German students they find desirable and the ones that they wish to support and have the support of, which does not reflect the diversity of a lot of the students in, this is not just a blanket call for all students to stand up and do what they think is right and the AfD's got your back. This is, if you hear your teacher saying something nasty about us, you should go and tell the principal. And again, then it
has that ever happened in your? Do you have any examples of that?
No, not particularly seriously. I mean, students, I've had to, you teach students with differing opinions, and you teach them with a range of things, and it can be really difficult. Like, obviously, I'm someone with very sort of deeply entrenched sort of political views that I'm very passionate about, and it's really upsetting when students are like really opposed to that or say things that you think, like I think, are quite, racist or homophobic or Islamophobic or whatever. And of course that comes up, but I've never had this kind of thing happen. I think it's also very difficult because, and again, it's hypocritical of the AfD, because you end up using pupils, young people, as some kind of political tools.
Yeah.
And that is very difficult because these are young people. They are not, yes, it's great if young people want to get politically involved, but we have to be very careful with what we expect of them and what we are asking of them, because,
I mean, I just think that the main thing, part of the problem with this, is that the AfD can't really admit to itself that it's fundamentally an anti-democratic party.
Yes.
Because you can't be racist and be democratic. You can't be you can't be anti-Islamic and be a Democrat. Like, yeah. You can't say that as a valid political opinion, because it's not. It's just racism.
Yeah.
So,
and this is the difficult thing. And it was funny because we've looked at the AfD, like when it was the German general elections, I actually did a class with my Abitur class at that time. And we looked at all the different political party campaign posters. And they were saying in this, on this website that I was reading today, this portal, I was like, you would have to produce like written evidence, or maybe that was somebody in a newspaper article commenting, they've said that you'd have to produce written evidence of your teacher's like bias. But all I've used is like literally their campaign posters. It's very difficult to analyze that and not come up with, okay, well, these people are like obviously anti-Islam and they want just white people, which is inherently racist.
Well, that is the problem with the old order.
Creating extra resources, and we looked at all the other political parties ones and the FDP ones, where we're all just like, does it look like he's trying to get us to go to a rave in Kreuzberg? So it was, and I think it is important to have that range. But the AfD, this is again just more of they've picked a very difficult position to, it's in some ways it's indefensible what they're saying. And then maybe, I mean, it does come down to my kind of deep frustration and how do you deal within a democracy with a party that is undemocratic.
Yeah.
And what systems do we have in place to kind of think that? And one of the systems that we have in place is to teach young people to think critically. And when that happens, I have to say, you know, they do tend to look a bit skeptically at the AfD, which then makes it look even shadier what the AfD are doing, because there are undoubtedly some very clever people at the top there who are involved in, like, you know,
so
you don't get to be this popular without some people up there that are capable of, like, very clever doublethink and, like, manipulating people in order, you know, it's not just a bunch of loons.
No.
Because then you don't get into power, you know what I mean?
No, and they're people as well. I mean, they have, like, you know, they have opinions about things that they really believe in. It's not like they're just making it up. Like, they just really do. They really think that they're protecting this old order. But what they can't see is that the old order is not really democratic, and we need to develop a new democracy.
Yeah.
Because these other groups of people have to be included. Like, you can't include those other people without losing some power.
Yeah.
Some people are going to lose power, and that is a really hard thing for people to take.
Yeah. Like, when it's that, what is that really good quote that I need to commit to memory? You know, when you're used to superiority and dominance, equality feels like oppression.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very difficult thing for some people to come to terms with. But I think, you know, by and large, young people, it's been a difficult topic for me to think about, because in some ways I feel awful. And I know that it has come to the thing where you never want students not to be able to kind of speak up and stuff in your classes. And luckily, though, you just rely on other students to be like, you're being racist.
So do you actually teach lessons about the AfD?
Yeah, sometimes.
Within the context of,
I'm not a politics teacher, but within the context of language and how language relates to power. So we're looking at, like, election posters, because it was really topical. The election was happening, and there's a big long drive, like, down a big road for ages that most of us took on the way to school as the bus, and you just saw all the posters on the way to school. So we were just like, well, I was like, okay, well, it makes sense for us to look at these. And they are very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did a lesson about different political posters.
Yeah. Yeah. And also sort of speeches and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's critical literacy. And we tore them all apart.
Right.
You know, because they're all manipulative. But,
well,
I mean, the AfD really.
You put a
pregnant white woman on a poster and they're like, new Germans, we'll make them ourselves. Like, what are we supposed to do with that on, like, a Friday morning, periods one and two, other than go, bit racist, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's funny, and the CSU in Bavaria actually used the same picture as the AfD in one. The AfD used the same picture as the CSU. It was like one of two people about to have sex, two skinny white people. Two thin, good-looking white people are about to have sex. And they said, the slogan on it was, like, making babies is fun or something. It was, like, promoting fertility.
Oh, my God.
Actually, yeah. Do you know what this AfD strategist told me this week? He said
yes,
that...
Yes, you met some of the AfD today, did you?
Yeah, week, I mean, sorry. A lot of, like, yeah, he's, it was quite interesting. But one of the things he said is that we are different from other far-right parties around Europe because we don't have a leading strong man figure, you know, like, because Germans don't like that. And he said that
we'll have a far-right party, but if we could not have the dude that's like, we kind of have to worship, because that might bring back some bad memories and force us to ask some difficult questions of ourselves. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, he pointed out, and I hadn't noticed this before, that the AfD does not have a candidate in Bavaria. Like, there's no specific person to vote for. You just vote for the party. Mm-hmm. All the other parties have a leading candidate who is, like, the candidate who would be the governor or whatever, the premier of Bavaria. But the AFD doesn't have one on all their posters. They never have, except for like local districts, they don't have a picture of a single person on. They have this strategy, they said that, and they're also really social media based, unlike all the other parties, because they don't do, well, this guy said that if we did more public events, they would always be closed down or be too many protests, so we concentrate on social media. I don't know if that's really true, but they are much better at social media.
Yeah.
Strategically.
Yes. So, I mean, ultimately, nice try, AFD, but no.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they're like the last... But the other thing I really noticed from talking to them was that they seem like a really modern... Because they're only like 4 years old, and they seem like a really modern party that are really trying, you know, they're this new kind of populism. But all their policies are really just... Like from ages ago.
Just rubbed out a swastika from the corner of the document.
Yeah, they're just like that. Yeah, they're really like. You know what he said about, for example, this one. The one I talked to was from the Berlin AFD. So there's a big thing about this week. They're going to ban certain diesel cars from certain roads in the center of Berlin, and he was just like, "Yeah, but we live in a big city, so we should just live with pollution." That was his opinion on it. We should just have pollution. Like, who says that? There's nothing we can do about it.
I think we get down to beyond the kind of whoever's pulling the strings at the top and making whatever this lunacy happen. We're not that. Yeah.
But that was his. Like, he didn't have a. Like, that is his answer to. And then he was just moaning on about like, oh, all these green voters. They want to live in the big city, but then they don't want pollution. Like it's like you can't like why don't they go and live in Klein Machnow then if they want clean air? Because of course they don't, because they want to go and party. Like he's just like really like caught in this like this caught in this old fashioned. I don't know what it is. Like,
yes.
It's like he can't cope with the idea that maybe it would be better to have clean air in a city, you know? Maybe that is... Like, he had no imagination. There's no imagination for it. Like, he's like, we just live here.
A lack of imagination.
And I just thought, I can't... I mean, I'm not going to vote for them.
I'm glad that you feel like you have to state that.
No, but I just...
Yeah.
I just thought... I was trying to imagine why would I vote for them.
Please don't vote for them because, you know, one thing that this did get me thinking was like... I really don't want to have to teach in Germany if they're... No. No, thank you.
What, if they're in power?
Yeah. I mean, I don't... It's not like that politicised like it is sort of in the UK, but just no thanks.
No, I mean, you'd be like teaching about... They put on the curriculum something about like getting married and having loads of babies or something, and then you'd have to teach that.
That's the thing. I just wouldn't. But, I mean, I think the teenagers may save us all. It'll be interesting, actually, to see what happens with this. And if sort of lots of teachers are reported and it sort of becomes... I think it's a very interesting thing. And it walks a dangerous line in trying to... manipulate or it risks like trying to capitalize on like the teen, like particularly because we're talking about teenagers mainly here. This is not aimed at primary school students.
Yeah. There are some quite right-wing teenagers, aren't there?
Oh, there are. I mean, teenagers love an odd flirt with fascism. They really do. Teenagers we think of as quite sort of rebellious and stuff, but at heart, they feel awful all of the time. Their hormones are insane. They feel out of control. They don't know what's going on. And so fascism with its rules and regulations is relatively appealing. And it's black and white. This is good. This is bad. You can be this. And that's great. You can have the courage to go and report your teachers. We'll be beside you. You know, it's like, it's Hitler-Jugend stuff, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So it manipulates vulnerable people. And it... teacher-student relationships are very difficult and bad ones can go bad very, very quickly. But I think ultimately this kind of... It it again, and maybe it's due to this old fashioned thing. They seem to be working on a much kind of older classroom model where students sort of feel harangued by their teachers. And I think for the most part, certainly in my experience, like the teachers who are in there talking to their students about politics and maybe, you know, trying to get them to be critically thinking, they're the ones that they really, really care about their students and probably have good relationships with them. And that dynamic has changed over time. And so it, the AFDE are sort of trying to create or play into a dichotomy that doesn't necessarily exist between these kind of teachers that are trying to bash the students over the head with some political ideology. And it's also like, not all teachers are like this. Probably the majority are like just quite awesome physics teachers and want to talk to you about physics or sport. Or, and that's not to say that those teachers aren't politically involved as well, but there's a full range of teachers that you get in there. Like you get a full range of political opinions. I mean, yeah, we're teachers, so we tend to be a bit more left, like traditionally, but a lot of teachers are a bit more apolitical. So.
Especially the PE teachers, probably.
I think the PE teachers get a bad rap, but yeah, possibly.
Are they? Yeah.
But just leave the teenagers be-ish. Did have a kid speaking out about the Greens and how he wants to go and join the Green youth today, but that was completely unprompted.
Well, that's good. Are they going to the demo tomorrow? I want to plug the demo tomorrow because I think everyone
actually,
in Berlin should go to the demo.
I saw some posters. I'm going to go. Our school is attending.
Oh, good. Excellent. Unteilbar. Tomorrow in Berlin is going to be really big.
Yes.
I wanted to
Can you give a sentence about what Unteilbar is?
It is a huge protest organized by about 50 different organizations are part of it. It's huge. Like, on they're all like trade unions are part of it. Local Berlin Bezirkmiets, you know, anti-gentrification things are part of it. The main focus of it though is sort of anti-racism, and that is what Unteilbar means. Says we will not be divided is the idea of it.
Indivisible.
So
it'll be fun as well. There are concerts too.
There are a lot of concerts and a lot of speakers talking, and in fact there's two different concerts going on, the one in Alexanderplatz and one at Siegessäule in the evening.
Well,
yeah,
hopefully we'll all see each other there.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Have an excellent weekend.
Bye.